traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The truth is textbook survival. Take no risks, stay put, wait for rescue. I thought, that's going to be so boring. I want to like do self-rescue where nobody knows you're missing. You've got a shoelace, a dead squirrel, and a
yo.
What are like the 5 most quintessential survival items?
Who's more challenging?
He's like, I don't even need 5.
You'd know that you're going to sleep in a sheep's carcass before you do it.
I couldn't eat it because it was like stinking, but I could make a sheeping bag out of it.
You drank your own. What is that like?
Prime is a major step up in my life. And,
so we are rolling. All right. We never know when we're rolling. The crew is all different. We're in London. We got Bear Grylls sitting next to us, the number one survival expert on the planet. You're a dream guest of mine, Bear.
You're so kind. And I always feel super self-conscious hearing something like that. Because first of all, I really don't think I am the number one survival guy on the planet. I really, and that's not just like, you know, it's true. I'm really not. I regularly in my life meet, you know, better survivors, better skydivers, better climbers, better looking, more articulate, stronger, fitter, better in every way. But I'm a survivor and I hang on in there and I'll take any ranking, to be honest.
Mike's a survivor too. He beat heroin.
There you go.
I didn't bring it up.
Yeah. Respect. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
good
it was
for
a
you.
Long time.
Well, that's a proper journey.
Yeah, it was. I consider myself to be a bit of a survivalist. Potentially number one in that category.
Good for you. See, hey, well, in that sense, like we were saying, we're all survivors, aren't we?
We're
all people who try best we can to follow our dreams, follow our hearts, get good people around us, face a few battles. There you go. You've had them. Mm. We've all had them. Mm-hmm. But I keep going.
No, not to get deep right off the rip, but you're absolutely right. Life is hard. At baseline level, life is literally about survival. And you're very humble. But I think why I said that, and in my opinion, what makes you the best is that you do it all. And you named all the things that you do. Like, not a lot of people can hop from
a jack of many things,
yeah,
master
yeah.
nothing.
No, but you've mastered plenty of these things, man. And it's an honor to have you in. We walked in the studio. You came with your son, Young Grylls, who I don't know if you know this. This dude,
base jumping hookman. Is that the right way to describe
him? He jumped off a bridge. A base jump with the hooks of the parachute attached to his skin, shirtless.
How does that work?
Yeah, so where? Wait.
Well, that was. We've had some epic adventures. For me, it's nice. These sort of things, I hate going with a whole team of like PRs and all. You know, we're, our home some of the year is in London, and we're here together. And for me to have an afternoon with Jesse, who's now 20, and we came down by boat and we walked for a little bit and. I'm very happy. For me, it's as much of a motivation to spend a nice afternoon with Jesse. But he's amazing. We learned to base jump together, didn't we? I was following in your slipstream, and your slipstream can be a rough place to be sometimes.
I have to ask, because I'm having this concern as I look to my future, and like I want to have kids, but I've done some crazy stuff, and in the same way that I try to emulate my father, who's you know this tough. Never give up survivalist kind of guy who's also a huge fan of you. I'm sure you tried to emulate your dad, but at what point is it too dangerous? Is it the hooks in the skin jumping off the building?
I don't know. Is this a place to talk for you kind of you fill in. What do you reckon?
Do we have a mic? I'd actually be.
He can come sit right here. Yeah,
come
a sit.
Come
he
on.
Wants.
Here we go. Come on.
This is maybe one of the more wholesome.
Now you guys are
moments.
Really hanging out. Yeah.
And the truth is now this podcast for me becomes it goes from not that it was ever work, but you know, kind of you know, work to pure happiness.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
here.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's amazing, bro. Your kin is doing amazing things as well.
I'm
curious, are you trying to be the daredevil that your dad was?
Well, I think I got a passion for skydiving from him, and then I like found my own niche in base jumping, and that was like special to go on your first base jump, like take you for your first jump.
I mean, that was actually cool. I mean, It was, first of all, it was super fun when he was 12. I took him skydiving and strapped into one of our crews, stood beside him.
At 12.
I don't think it was a tandem. I think we just, first one, we just threw him out. And it was meant to be, was meant to be what they call accelerated freefall training, where you do it with like two formless instructors. Should we be telling this story?
I was going to say, this sounds illegal, man. I thought you had to be 16.
I mean, I was thrown out.
I'd like to say
I loved it, and I was going to be guided the whole way, on like a walkie-talkie. Yeah. Like everything's under control, and like the parachute opens, I'm like waiting for the walkie-talkie, and it's like out of battery, of course, because no one's prepared.
But also, you were on your own. I mean, because it was out of the chopper outside, and you'd gone. Yeah, it was like, and I was on the side with Scott, and we were like, "It was out. Hold on, we've got to go get him." But you were like, "You smashed it
out of a chopper as well."
Out of a chopper. But I hasten to add, this was in a country where there are no rules, and I think we were okay.
Let's not name the country.
Let's not name the country.
See, in America, we do that with little kids into, like, pools. Like, we'll throw a kid into, like, a pool, and they'll learn how to swim, but usually not out of choppers.
His mum did go a little nuts. But anyway, the point of the story is, so I kind of introduced him to skydiving. He was instantly kind of got it. It was natural to that. We kept doing a bunch of it. And then when you were 16, I think, Jesse started base jumping. And I was like, I was getting a little bit of grief. / quite a lot of grief from Shara, my wife, and like, now this is my fault that he's base jumping, you know, the most
she
dangerous.
She still hates it.
She still hates it.
Do you feel like it
but
is
I
kind of
said, I said, Jesse, why don't we just do it together? We'll get the gang together, all our friends who we'd the best in the world at this. Yeah, yeah. We'll learn it together, do it the right way.
Yeah.
But the truth is, by this stage, Jesse was kind of away. Then he goes, Papa, I think it's time for your first jump. So that was already a weird dynamic. He's like 16, 17, teaching me. But we were in Switzerland. I was doing I'll never forget it. I was doing like a presentation with a big, you know, couple of thousand bankers in Geneva or something. Yeah. And I was on stage at like 8 a.m. And I was there just with Jesse because we were like road tripping it like we are now. And he goes, Papa, there's an epic bridge, like an hour and a half drive from here.
And we were up 6 a.m. out to the out to the bridge. You jumped. It was awesome. Quick getaway in the van. You're up on stage sort of like an hour and a half later, all pumped up. That's
I was
better
like
than
totally over adrenalized. I had like karma time.
Well, the courage obviously runs in the family. I just got my B license in skydiving.
Good job. Well done.
Like literally 2 weeks ago.
Respect. Thanks. Where do you do your jumping?
I did most of them in California and Paris. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Utah. At this canyon, mineral canyon.
Yeah, I've jumped both those places. They're great. And
beautiful.
Paris is such a fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. There. But I promised myself I would never base jump.
Yeah,
I won't do it, guys.
It's very dangerous.
I think that's fair. I think the key is, I mean, Jesse was telling me traveling here, you know, 16 base jumpers have died this summer already. And it's like, you know, I think it is a dangerous sport. If you do it, you've got to be really on it. And you've got to just leave the ego behind, be jumping with really good people. And we set pretty firm boundaries for ourselves now, in the sense we're not doing proximity flying or wingsuits where the fatality rate is
high.
And if we jump off cliffs, you jump much more dangerous stuff than me. I try and really go big, high, overhanging. Yours, you smoke it a little lower because you're more talented than me.
Well, I was also going to say, just watch the lad, because we know how this goes. You're going to want to keep pushing it.
Yeah.
You're going to want to go lower. You're going to want to do the side-by-side in the air if you get to wingsuiting.
I don't know. He's smart. Jesse is much more safety conscious than me, actually. He's much more thorough, diligent. He's often going, Papa, hold on, let's just think about this. And actually, you don't have an ego with things. And I know the temptation, that's the sort of a normal rhetoric of a young guy. But actually, you're super smart.
I'm better now. When I did the hook jump, then I wasn't. I was 18
just a little bit, just give us a little background of what that means.
Yeah, so I had a friend from Russia.
That makes sense.
That makes so much
sense. This is where most
you've already explained enough.
That's
all we need to hear. Friend from Russia, it's done.
Yeah.
So it's actually all you need is
And he worked in a tattoo shop doing piercings, and he had done doing it for people where they put hooks in your back and you like hang off the ground by ropes.
But hold on, it was from Russia in prison as a way of helping people off some hardcore drugs through pain therapy. I mean, it was like it's already messed up.
We were sat around, we were like, well, we attached the parachute then to the hooks. That should work. So we just kind of drove out to the bridge. I lay down in the back of his van, pushed him through, climbed up, and
How big are the hooks?
They're like, you know,
that
pinky.
Long, that thick.
But crazy.
it was full on, and also
you have four of them.
Dude, I was reading the guy doing it
had tattooed eyeball. His whites of his eyes.
Oh, one of those. He's sick.
And yeah. But he's a beautiful guy. I remember him telling me that he got all his face tattoos done because he's so antisocial. He thought everyone would leave him alone. Oh, no. But it had the opposite. Everyone now wants selfies and why you got blue eyes and whatever.
Yeah. He's a kind super heart. Cool guy.
No, I was reading the PDF and both of us were like, are we reading this? I don't think I understand what's happening.
This is his kid? This isn't even him?
Well, it was also on a road trip. Jess and me took a road trip during quarantine, during lockdown a couple of years ago, whenever it was. Yeah. And I had to be 10 days before I could go back into the country. So I said to Jesse, he'd just left school. I said, bring the motorbikes. I'll meet you in Spain. We'll take the leather waistcoats, you know, the base jumpy rig, and we're just going to have a kind of crazy fun adventure, and we'll camp and we'll jump and we'll be on the bikes. It kind of turned into road trip from hell, because first it was freezing cold. We were dressed for summer. We were like freezing our nuts off in the mountains. And we found some great places. We jumped together. We had so many cool times. But this was one of the days where it was like I was watching that the hooks go into you. And the guy, the Russian, who Jesse is right, is a legend. Like, we don't want to name him because he likes to fly under the radar. But he was having to like smoke some weed in between each hook.
He was getting so stressed out. He's like, I need a spliff in between. Mate. I'll do two and I'll be back there. So.
Is he part of the Wagner group or?
No. He's the opposite. He's a gentle, lovely guy.
I wanted to ask this. You clearly have this, maybe it's genetic, this missing fear of mortality. Right, like you're not. It seems like you're not super concerned about your safety. Do you think that that's a gene that was potentially passed down from your dad, where you're able to like look fear in its face and just go anyways?
You know what it is? I think you're much better at conquering fear than me. It's like, you know how kids are like, they can learn languages better because their brains can mold. Starting from such a young age, it's like it's so normalized in my brain and like kind of getting over that. So it's less. I get less scared. Whereas you have such good coping mechanisms of getting over the fear. I think when I'm really scared, then I struggle.
Yeah.
But it's like base jumping is so normalized.
Mm. It's funny with you because like if we go climbing, Jesse would be like really scared, like 30 foot up. Yeah, he's like, ah, and yet put a rig on his back. And like we've been on some seriously sketchy little ledges, 3,000 foot up climbing. And he's like super cool. Where for me, I have to go somewhere inside to like, get through this.
Yeah, have you ever thought about putting the rig on your back before you go climbing?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to help at 30 foot. And at 30 foot, I'm shaking, man. Like,
well, dude, I'm not going to make you sit here this whole time. But I did want to get your input on this because this is fascinating.
Thanks, brother.
I hope you're enjoying that prime, by the way. That's Metamoon.
Yeah, these look good. Can I try one?
Do you want to give it a shot?
Yeah.
I think it's time. Yeah, this is prime.
So this is your baby. This is your creation.
Yep. 20 calories, 2 grams of sugar, hydration beverage.
Wow. Actually, it's good. What is it? This is the candy flavor. Come on.
That one's tough to describe. Thanks, man.
I'm loving it.
Thanks.
And also, I've learned more and more. I love all the biohacking kind of health stuff.
Love.
But more and more, I'm realizing you've got to kick off the day with good hydration. Uh-huh. And I know it sounds a cliche, and we always know that, but actually, it's really true with good salts, you know, the potassiums, uh-huh, the magnesiums, uh-huh, all uh-huh. of that stuff.
So,
basically do the opposite of what the government say. No. If you need energy, salt.
100%. No, it's good.
But this has all of that?
This is 10 milligrams of sodium, so we're not super high in salt. Our thesis being that, Americans and people in general get enough sodium in their diets as is. Most of the foods we eat is high in sodium, so we focus on potassium for our electrolytes. Mm. But there's 7 electrolytes, and we are high in potassium.
I love it.
Yeah, BCAAs, B vitamins, really low in sugar. And it's doing great, bro. I'm glad you like it.
I really like it. And first of all, respect. Not easy starting a company from scratch, following your heart, doing it with a buddy. You did it with
KSI,
who I did a...
You shot paintballs at him in a tank.
Yeah, when he was a sideman. And what a lovely guy. But respect. I really hope it goes well.
Thanks,
you're
going to
smash it.
Dude, we just signed FC Barcelona, the soccer team. We just became their official sports drink.
Oh, wow, that's
our hydration
huge.
Partner, yeah. You got me a gift, too. I don't know what it
mine,
is.
Mine, I just threw it, grabbed it. Mine's not very good. Mine, first of all, it's a chocolate bar. Because dairy milk, doesn't love a dairy milk.
Let's go.
I have no association, by the way, with dairy milk. Jesse, look at me, go, why have you given him dairy milk?
I did not see that coming.
My favorite chocolate.
No, but this is great.
And then that's one of our... Luminox.
Sick.
Watches.
Sick. To Logan, never give up, bear. Dude, if I'm ever...
And it's made of ocean plastics, so it's environmentally good and cool watch. Yeah.
Cannonballs, this summer it's not about the size of your cannonballs, it's about making a splash with our friends at Manscaped. Prep for barbecue season by making sure your grill master has the hottest dogs the summer's ever seen. When you're at the cookout, let the meat speak for itself with Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0. It's time to get ready and not sweaty by going to manscaped.com and using the code Logan for 20% off and free shipping. When you're down there, you want to make sure it's as safe and as effective as possible. Believe me, I know. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 has everything you need to guarantee you'll have the most mouth-watering treats at the party. They have built the ultimate bundle for your summer grooming. Their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. This thing is powerful and comes with all the bells and whistles. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? Beach, pool, shower, this razor will devour even the strongest pubes. Now that you can feel safe wearing a low-cut swimsuit without any stragglers peeking out, use Manscaped's liquid formulations, basically the ball freshness version of cracking open a cold one. They've got crop preserver, ball deodorant, keeping you cool from sunrise to sunset. With a soothing aloe vera formula, it's the best in the business for below-the-waist freshness. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Wearing sandals with some nasty toenails during the summer months, take a look at the Shears 2.0, a luxury nail grooming kit. This kit includes stainless steel nail cutters, tweezers, and grooming scissors. As a treat, you should add in the crop mops to your order, a moist towelette made specifically for your balls. It's the best midday refresher to stop your popsicle from melting. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code Logan at manscaped.com. That is 20% off with free shipping at the code manscaped.com using Logan Manscaped code Man Logan. The perfect way to get your patties sizzling hot this summer. Back to the
traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The show. Man, you've been on so many adventures. Climb Mount Everest when you were 23 years old. Man vs. Wild, one of my favorite shows growing up. Do you know that you're going to sleep in a sheep's carcass before you do it? Or is that a split decision?
Well, on that show, there's a thousand options. You know, sometimes you're going places where you know it's pretty barren. You have to kind of have a few backup plans. If you're not going to find food, you're not going to find shelter. Hold on. Can we, you know, and I've definitely been known to throw a few dead pigeons into the back of crew's backpacks as a backup plan.
Oh, yeah.
But we pretty rarely have to go there. There's normally always somewhere. I mean, that sheep, that was just a rotting sheep in a bog in wherever we were.
No, it's been sheep.
I couldn't eat it because it was like stinking.
Yeah.
But I could make a sheeping bag out of it. So
that sheeping bag. Sheeping bag. I like that.
And that's been sheep, camel, deer.
Were there any moments where you felt like you didn't have things under control, where you felt like on any of these shows, on, you know, Man vs. Wild, on anything, like where you felt like you potentially might not make it through?
Well, I think in terms of the TV shows I've done, Man vs. Wild definitely started off pretty sketchy because it was super lean. It was just me and a couple of us. We'd go and we'd gun it and go. And we never, first of all, kind of thought it would be on TV. You know, we went and just shot it, had fun in the Rockies, and they end up putting it out on TV late at night with no marketing. And just the timing was lucky and it flew. And it was just one of those things meant to be.
Can you run the audience through the premise of the show really quick for people that don't know what the show was?
Well, Man vs. Wild was the first TV show I ever did, reluctantly.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, the producer came to me 3 times and it was like, and I'd left the military. I'd been part of an expedition to Everest after I left that. We had a whole bunch of things happen up there where people lost their lives, but I wrote a book on that. Just getting married, age 25. And And this producer from Discovery Channel approached us and said, could we do a show where we drop you in the middle of nowhere and you show us how to get out of there? And like I said, I was really reluctant to do it just because I didn't know about TV. I thought, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm in my zone of climbing and the expeditions. I want to stay in that. And the more I said that, the more they say, we don't want a TV guy. We want that.
Yeah.
The mud, the blood, the stumbles, the falls.
Authentic. Yep.
The ums, the ahs. Yeah. Yep. And so we went and did that. And you know, we did 7 seasons of that show. And in many ways, that built that foundation and platform to be able to go and do all these other shows like Running Wild and You Versus Wild and all the other stuff. But it started with that. But it, to your point of the danger, I think those early days, we had so little safety in place. And it was always having close calls and, you know, bitten by snakes, chased by sharks, crocodiles, pinned in rapids, parachute failures, yep. All the time. You know, this stuff was happening.
Is there like an OSHA for like television? Like who says, yo, you can't do this? Is there anybody that does that?
Well, at that stage, nobody. And there were no rules. And it was kind of Wild West. And I remember we slowly started to build the crew. And we brought one guy in and he stayed like 5 episodes. And he said, this has been a riot. This has been amazing. But first of all, somebody's going to die on this show. You can't keep doing this. And this was show five. And we eventually did like 75 of that.
Wow.
But so we did have to get smarter. We did have to grow it a little bit, plan it a little better. But now we're really like, especially with Running Wild, where I'm taking
celebrities,
you know, other people away, big Hollywood icons or world leaders or Obama. Sports guys. Or, you know, you can't be totally seat of your pants. You got, you know, they're trusting me with their life, their brand, their time. So now there's the danger is raw and real and it's always there, but we really kind of make sure we're on it. We still have a small team though. You know, it's invariably the stars can never believe at the end of it. They go, wow, it really was just like 6 or 7 of us, a coil of rope, gunning it and going.
I imagine it has to be small. It probably.
Well, I think money in big numbers doesn't equal safety. Sometimes it makes things more dangerous because nobody's committed to anything. Everyone's box ticking, you know, and actually having a small trusted crew, which our crew is, been there from the beginning, from Man vs. World days, ex-Special Forces guys, buddies of mine that I serve with. You know, there's a level of trust and connection that's been there for years, built up over years and years. And that's, you know, we never take it for granted, never get complacent. But for me, I feel that's the safest place to be with trusted people, small team, got each other's back, no ego. If people are struggling, we find another route. We reassess stuff.
You've done some gnarly stuff, Bear. And it pops up on my TikTok, man. That one bug you ate, you've eaten a lot of bugs, but there was one in particular.
Oh, I saw that.
I think it was like a giant caterpillar.
Disgusting.
And you could hear it explode when you bit into it. You drank your own piss. I mean, what is that like?
That might be the most famous.
it's a lot worse. This is Prime is a major step up in my life. And bear in mind, you've got a low benchmark to impress me with. You know? But drinking urine, first of all, is not something I do for fun. I'm not one of these people. And there are people out there, aren't there, who kind of...
What did the Aussies call it? A geyser?
A bubbler.
A bubbler.
A bubbler.
Hey, take a bubbler.
I'm not a bubbler.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are people out there.
Yeah, the coach from Dodgeball, he drinks his own urine because it's sterile and... Anyways.
but it can save your life. If you're well hydrated and you're low on supplies, you're out in the desert and clear, well hydrated pee is you can drink it. If you're peeing out brown, dehydrated
Jack
pee.
Jack Daniels and cheese.
Jack like, Daniels and cheese. That is waste product.
And disgusting.
Oh my God, I'm going to go to bed with that image now tonight. That's going to be it.
Well, NASA's saying now that they can filtrate, what, 98% of contaminants out of urine and...
Turn it into water.
Maybe not the Jack Daniels and cheese. Do you think that would be their limit?
No, that's the
2%. I really wish I hadn't said that, to be honest with you.
No, NASA's really making some big transformations that Bear could maybe use one day.
Yeah.
But yeah, these drastic decisions you make for things that most of the world would consider vile, how much of it is, okay, survival versus, oh, this is going to be a good bit?
Content.
I think I grew up on much more bushcrafty TV shows where the guys were sitting around whittling a spoon with a knife and it was slow in their anorak and it was, you know. And I never wanted to do that. For me, I wasn't I didn't consider myself a survivalist. I was trained in the Special Forces in combat survival that was always about staying hidden,
moving fast, getting out of there. And I love that dynamic and energy. So when we started Man vs. Wild, the truth is textbook survival is take no risks, stay put, wait for rescue. I thought, that's going to be so boring. I want to like do self-rescue where nobody's looking for you, nobody knows you're missing, your kids are you know, in trouble, you got to go now, you got a shoelace, a dead squirrel, and half a roll of
special forces.
What are you going to do?
Special forces.
And for me, that lit me up. It's like, I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, so we always try to keep that energy to it. And to be honest, not a lot has changed. I mean, we still never do a second take of anything. We still, if there's mud and rain all over the lens, it's great. The crew know that I really don't enjoy being on camera, so they kind of never say action. It's like, I guess we're going, let's do it.
And
like,
that's the best way to do it.
And
the best
there you
way
go,
to do
you
it.
Get it. Mm-hmm.
Did you watch MacGyver as a kid at
love
all?
Love MacGyver, obsessed.
A classic American program.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the best. I used to love that. I mean, that was my kind of hero growing up, was it was a mix of that, you know, A-Team, which is what I felt we have with our team anyway. It's just you don't see so much of them. But whenever we did behind-the-scenes shows, people loved it. They're rock stars, brilliant. And then if I had to be a third hero, maybe like John the Baptist, you know, lived off locust honey in the wilderness, good heart. You know, combination of a bit of all of that was what I grew up loving.
So those are your top three survivalists, not you.
I think so, yeah.
My girlfriend wanted me to ask you, if you were on the show alone, we love that show, what would be five items that you would bring?
Yeah. I'm not sure I know the show alone. Tell me about that.
So basically they try to survive. You get left on your own. It's just you filming yourself. You get to bring 10 items, but for the sake of this show, I'm just curious if you could bring five. What are like the five most quintessential survival items that you, Bear Grylls, would bring if you were left alone in the wilderness?
Well, I think I need to look at it, look at the terrain, and look at where we're going. But I think a small hand axe is always overrated. Mm. You know, it's underrated. It's, you can do so much with that. And, you know, once you've got a good chopping blade, you can make shelters, you can make fire, friction fires, all of this.
I'm
you
taking
can hunt
notes.
With it, you can make traps with it. Yep. Probably better than just a pocket and a knife. Yep.
So maybe.
Honestly, it doesn't surprise me.
You know, I've had to pick two things.
He'd bring this watch. By the way,
I
thank
mean, five,
you. I didn't thank you. Thank you for this.
Five is harder. I mean, if I had picked two, two's more challenging.
He's like, I don't even need five.
I would go that axe and a never give up attitude. Oh, you know, the rest is detailed. I mean, Jesse's holding his head in his hands, going, Papa, all you ever do is bang on about never give up and write it on Logan's watch. But it's the only thing you really need in survival. And as you guys know, in life, you gotta you don't have to be the most talented, don't have to be the most skillful, you just gotta be the most dogged and
warrior.
Like, persistent.
Warrior. It's this. So
have you ever
I realize that more and more in life.
Have you ever been close to giving up?
So often. But I think never giving up is a muscle. It's not a Why I like it is that some people are born great. Some people are born sportsmen, great talent, fast, you know, whatever it is, clever. But I like that fire inside stuff, the never give up, because everybody has it, but you've got to build it.
Yep.
And you build it by failing. You build it by not being the hero. You
trauma.
Build it by
trauma.
Falling down, getting back up, going through some trauma like you have, going through some battles, through some storms, real storms, metaphorical storms, life storms. And that's why I like this thing of kids at school, not just, it's schools always celebrating the heroes. You know, the guys who look amazing and they're clever and they're sporty, but
they're going to be alcoholics.
My eyes see
in their
through
40s.
Those guys now. I'm looking at little Johnny, who never gets picked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never wins, but he's smiling. He turns up every day. He gives his all. And he might not have the outer muscles, but come 18, he'll have the never give up muscle is going to be strong. And he's ready for life. And life doesn't care how. It's full of talented people who don't make it, you know? So you might roll your eyes, Jesse, but I don't ever apologize to you for that. I'll apologize for many things. I never apologize saying to you every day of your life going off to school, courage, kindness, never give up. It's the currency of life.
It's just really hard to stop someone who never gives up. I've said it on this show before. If you're persistent and you just have that dog in you that refuses to stop.
Cockroach.
What?
Cockroach mentality. They're hard to kill.
Yo.
It's true.
Yo, y'all gotta be a cockroach when you're approaching life. That cockroach mentality.
Honest, yeah,
you gotta be hard to kill. You gotta be, what's that? There's a new movie that came out. Sisu?
Oh, yeah.
He refuses to die.
Did you see the start and everything.
Like yeah, that. Oh yeah, that's you, Bear Grylls. You refuse to die. But right.
But you know, it's yeah, is that's a compliment I'll take, and that one I let go in here because it's the only thing I've ever wanted. The rest, success, any of that stuff, comes and goes. It's transient and it's sand under your feet. But having a resilient spirit and good friends, good connections, that I'll take.
I imagine the parachute accident that you had when you were younger was definitely one of those hurdles you had to jump. You were almost paralyzed for life, correct?
Yeah, I was unlucky in the sense that I had it, but I was lucky, super lucky that I wasn't paralyzed. I mean, the doctors said I was with millimeters severing my spinal cord. I was like 22 at the time, you know, serving in the military. I was in Africa, canopy, tour. I should have cut away really straight away. It was getting dark. I thought I could sort it. And before I knew it, it crashed in and broke three vertebrae and spent months and months back in the UK in military rehab, struggling to get out of bed and reach a bathroom without, you know, agonizing pain and trying to sort of rebuild my life and thinking, what am I going to do? I can't do this job. I can't even climb any stairs, let alone a mountain. You know, what am I going to do? But as you guys know, I think sometimes those dark times in our life are where we build the
muscle.
Fire,
the fire. What you just said, the never give up muscle.
And also,
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So you kind of work out, what do you really want? What do you really want? And I felt that, first of all, I should be dead or paralyzed. I'd be so lucky. Life's given me a second chance. It doesn't often do that for people. Don't blow it. Be grateful, live every day, eyes wide open, fail a ton because it's all bonus now. You can go for anything.
I love that.
And wherever you get to, camp one on a mountain, you're in bonus time. So live wide-eyed with that rhino spirit of yeah. Come on. And you do that long enough, it becomes a muscle. Again, it becomes an attitude, a state of mind. And I've tried to carry that, I've tried to champion that through all the TV shows, all the endeavors, all the stuff I do.
Does that bonus time energy ever stop? Do you fear the day when the Reaper calls for you?
Yeah, a little bit. I have some struggle moments for sure. But you know, as part of being human, I think I'm never afraid to share those. It's why I put hand in hand with resilience, I put great friends. It's just as important. You know, it's no good being just strong, you know, because you're never as strong as when... If I've learned anything about survival, 1 + 1 never equals 2, equals about 5 or 6. You know, you need great friends. You need those connections. You're going to have times of struggle, times where you can't keep going, you know, and I've had many of those and lifted on the shoulders of giants in my life many times. I look at my late dad who taught me to climb. I look at those soldiers that stood beside me, expedition members on Everest and many other mountains, the camera crew on the TV shows, my you know, Jesse and my family beside me in so much that, you know, things like this press, I don't do much of this. I struggle actually with it. I get much more anxious doing big press stuff than I do up a mountain.
That's so interesting.
You have good friends with you.
Mm. And good sons.
And good sons. Well, that's a great privilege.
Wait, so the parachute accident happened at 22, yeah?
Yeah.
But didn't you climb Mount Everest at age 23?
I did. I think, I mean, it makes it sound like a sort of great journey of like, it was actually a really struggle of trying to refine confidence and identity for me. And I think so much of my identity growing up, with my dad had been that connection in climbing and I could do this. And I think in that hospital, that's what I lost. And a lot of confidence. And the main goal was I'm going to get strong enough to reach that bathroom, go up those stairs,
go on the next flight of stairs, and within 2 years, I'm going to stand on top of the world. And it was a, like a driving goal to, and nobody, you know, nobody knew I was. I wasn't like anybody. I thought I'm probably going to fail, but it was a focus. It was like what I could hold on to. And I look at that Everest time and, you know, I feel I got really fortunate as well. Like I say, stuff, a whole bunch of stuff happened up there. And I came away again with a realization of the value of great people in your life, you know, and I would never reach the top of that mountain without those guys I climbed with. And I put so much of my life down to so many giants who have helped me at big stages. I mean, look at that producer who told me to do Man vs. Wild when I was being an idiot and going, I don't know what I'm saying no to. You know, so many moments like that of good people who believe in you when you don't always believe in yourself.
Yep.
Life is quite literally all about your clan, your community, and at the end of the day can be summarized with the word love. I was having this conversation with my girlfriend. We were under the stars one night. I think we were a little high, and I was looking up there, and in this particular moment, I was just feeling the sheer insignificance of humans and this planet in general, and I just felt so small, especially because I understand now as an adult more than I ever have how big the universe is. Like, we are really a speck of dust in the middle of an infinite universe, and to think about that is a little jarring. It can be intimidating. And I said to her, I was like, Nina, it's crazy. I look up at the sky and I just realize like truly how insignificant we are. And this sweet girl turns to me and she looks at me in the eyes and she goes, yeah, but not to each other. Wow. And my head exploded. I was like, wow, what such a simple sentence and yet so profound and so true. Like, all we have is each other and the group of people that we can love, hopefully. And having that makes everything that we do on this planet worthwhile.
Oh, so you're absolutely right, man. So true. And it's connection, and the wild's a humbling place in the in the best way.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for you guys having that experience. Do you get to do a little bit of that?
I try to. I feel, and I say this with privilege, that I'm in bonus area now. I don't really know how. He definitely is. Like, he was supposed to have been claimed by the Reaper. He beat him, but
Didn't beat him. I just postponed.
He postponed.
I postponed a little.
That's it. That's it.
Now, every day I'm super thankful. And I imagine, and perhaps this is why you're so contagiously motivational, that you've had some profound experiences out there in the middle of nowhere, looking up at the stars and contemplating your purpose and being on this planet. No?
Well, let's see. It's, as they say, nature's TV. It's all, and nature's a great healing place. The natural world is healing for our hearts. It's, why does it light people up? Why does it give a pride and a confidence and a light in your eye that money or drugs can never touch or get close to? And, you know, that's a great gift. That is all of our great gift, and it's free and it's around us. And it's, I think it's been the key to Running Wild, to that show I do. Why do these guys want to come and be uncomfortable, cold, scared, even though it's only 2 days? Why do they want that? Because the reward is big. The reward is like, you can't buy it. You can't buy it. And that's a magical thing. I mean, even Jesse was saying to me the other day, he spent his first night, we spent the whole night up and watched the sunrise. And it's like, it's a life moment, isn't it? You were diving in the sea at 5 a.m. It's like, you'll never forget that, champ. You know, it's wonderful.
Those are the moments. Speaking of diving in the sea, you talked earlier about the dangers of excessive wealth as it parlays or combines with adventure. We had a massive accident last week with the Titanic expedition. Did you have any thoughts on that event and what happened there?
Yeah, first of all, I guess just such a tragedy. You know, I think hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it? You look back and you realize there were a whole bunch of corners probably cut on that. And actually, I was with some Submariner guys this week who were going, hold on, that stuff was totally Mickey Mouse compared to what the gear we operate, you know. But I think time and an investigation will figure whether that's true or not. But I think above all, it's just a tragic loss, unnecessary probably loss of life. I think though, what I would say is that we got to be careful not to throw out the baby with the bathwater in the sense that like, oh, they shouldn't be doing it, or, you know, it's and I know it, at the extremes of risk, and you start putting money and wealth and
billionaires and space and, you know, but that's right on the extremes, isn't it? And that air is always going to get a little grey, a little foggy, a little kind of murky. But I think that the intent is good. I think all of us, we should be living with an adventure-centered spirit. Adventure's a state of mind. It's how we live our life, approach relationships, tackle our job, launch businesses, all the good stuff, you know. And I think you can't be saying to your kids, live wide-eyed and go for it and follow your dreams and never give up. And then on one hand, they say, but they can't, you know, just because he's become a billionaire, he can't do that. So I think you're careful not to throw out that side of it, because we should be living adventure, spirited life. And you've got to admire their risk-taking spirit as well. And sometimes it goes wrong and the world sees and it's tragic. But yeah.
I can't believe how unforgiving Twitter is.
No, went the same direction as me. I was going to say the response to it was just, it was a strange lesson in just heartlessness.
Just a lot of memes, a lot of, I don't know, like it's weird how, I mean, like obviously it's a tragedy and obviously there were safety precautions that were just overlooked a lot, but yeah, the internet's ruthless.
It was strange too how much of it was dependent on their financial status, their wealth.
It's almost like revenge, sort of thing.
Like if a cashier from ShopRite, mother of three, had died in a skydiving accident, the world would do a GoFundMe. They would flip out. Everybody would be putting flowers on the fences and on the street where she lived.
Yeah.
But since these guys had worked hard to accumulate wealth, the internet said these are terrible people. They deserved what they had coming to them, and may their souls rest in piss. Basically, like it was a horrific response.
I saw a bit of that, and also, you know, your heart breaks for the 19-year-old kid who kind of went with his dad just to be with his dad. Yeah. Really,
can you imagine?
Wasn't crazy about it. Just wanted to be with his dad and seeking out experiences. At least it wasn't 5 days of running out of oxygen in freezing cold, pitch black, terrified. You know, that was an instantaneous death. Once you get down there,
they said faster than the brain could even conceive that it was happening. Yeah. So
you would have no idea. You'd exist.
So maybe that's a sort of small thing in a tragic situation.
Can I get you to pull this mic up a little bit? I think it's tilting just a little bit. It's tough because we don't have headphones.
We're not on home turf.
No, we just walked in this room.
It's a great room.
It's a great room.
Don't you like that?
Yeah, we're all it's neutral territory.
But I like it also because it's back to, we have a thing in survival, good enough is good enough. You know, people spend ages, and on TV shows, I mean, you'll see this in your world all the time. You have lighting everything perfectly, and it's like, it kind of sucks the energy sometimes. I love raw, real, fast, seat of your pants, kind of, we'll figure it out, record on the iPhone,
let's do it.
Well, there you go.
Not you as much anymore now that you're a multi-billionaire.
No, first off, I'm not a multi-billionaire. everyone thinks Prime has made me that.
So you're becoming the enemy adventurer now.
I've been the enemy adventurer. But no.
Question. Okay, so you have been to the greatest advances of climbing upwards, right? Everest, and we didn't even talk about Amadablam, which some consider to be a harder climb than Everest. And if we have time, I'd love to hear about that. But after talking about this accident, have you done any exploring of the opposite direction? Do you find any interest in seeing what is beneath the surface of the ocean?
Little bit. The thing that I suppose what I struggle with is things where if something goes wrong, there's nothing you can do.
Nothing.
My DNA is actually, when we're in these jungles, as deserts and mountains, I'm not the guy who's always great at the start or in the middle or when everything's going right, but I'm a good person to have your back in a crisis when it's all going wrong. And I like that. I get it. We all get energy in different ways, but for me, that lights me up. I'm good when it's like, okay, now we've got to switch into this mode.
Yep.
And I think the thing about subsea stuff is that it doesn't really matter how brave, resourceful, determined, how much never give up spirit you've got. You know, once that can goes like that, you're in trouble. So it motivates me less. I've done a ton on big oceans over the years. In, you know, we've had some amazing sort of journeys, and probably, I mean, people don't really know about these so much, but like I took an inflatable rigid inflatable boat across the Arctic Ocean, five of us, 3,000 miles. And we got caught in like horrendous storms, 500 miles offshore, icebergs being turned over, pitch black, waves the size of houses. And you're like super vulnerable, you know. And it's, when I say the Wild's a humbling place, those sort of moments really, you know, they unite you. You know, those five guys, best friends and brothers to this day. But we were very lucky to get out of there. And I think the things where you have no control, you know, being in really bad avalanche terrain or these sort of things, I'm ever more mindful of the stuff where I've got away with it once, twice, three times. I've had a whole ton of them, actually. Mm-hmm. But I'm more cautious now with the objective danger, where it doesn't matter how great you think you are or how hard you're trying. If you're in the wrong place, wrong time, you're dead. That's so I try and sort of navigate my way around those moments.
I don't see Bear Grylls in a vessel.
Yeah, you're not a vessel.
It doesn't seem like a vessel kind of guy.
I'm not so techie. I mean, I'm not like I do use tech and I love kind of what tech does, but I'm not like, you know, if you're in Star Wars, you know, they're all kind of like behind the screens and it's how brilliant they are on the computers. I know there's a little bit of like fighting.
Yeah.
But the bulk of it, being a brilliant astronaut or time traveler, you got to be good on this.
Yeah.
And I'm not so good on that.
How much did the idea of becoming Papa Bear change your willingness to do that crazy shit?
Well, I kind of, I suppose, well, the crew sum it up well. They go, Bear, you used to be 120% reckless all the time and it was exhausting. Now you're about 80%. You know, I take that as positive progression. Yeah. Right. But I do think also, again, I think it's a state of mind. I think it's like a rugby tackle or a football tackle. When you're committed all in, hell or high water, this guy's going down, however big he is charging me. There's a power to that and you often don't get injured. But it's when you're a little bit tentative and you're like, and I think the Wild is like that. When if you approach it too tentative, things happen, you get caught out. And I think the Wild rewards all in. Everything
loose,
on the line.
Confident. It's I hate to bring it up as another example, but the drunk driver at car accidents rarely dies because they're loose and they're you know what I'm saying, and they're not.
It's the cat falling off the wall. I think that kind of calm is important. So I definitely manage risk in a different way. I use that experience, which I always say is the sum of all your near misses. I've had many near misses. Yep. So I use that instinct, nose of the mind again, all of that sort of stuff. I use it to try and make good decisions. But when I'm in it, I'm all in. Mm. And I try and keep that spirit to it as well.
And a big part of it feels like is overcoming stressors. And those stressors can be weather, they could be medical emergencies, they could be critics even. You've dealt with critics in your life, a lot of different stressors. And I wanted to ask you, and maybe have you behoove this upon the audience a little bit, what is your core weapon to go up against the stressors of life? And that could be in you know, wild situations or just the regular situations you go through.
Breathe, first of all, stop. You know, it's not, and also know that it's not all about you. Do you know what I mean? There's other things. Sometimes I meet people and they go, oh, I go, how are things? They go, oh, it's been, I wouldn't believe what the newspapers have been saying about this. And it's like, end of the world. And it's like, stop. In your world, it feels like a big thing, but stop. It's okay. There's wars going on. In the bigger picture, you're okay. I've had articles before where I've read it and I think, God, that is a really bad, really critical, really untrue, unpleasant, aggressive, nasty article. And it's been big. And friends have rung me like, oh, great, I saw the article, the epic, brilliant, well done. I'm like, you know, because everyone's got busy lives. They didn't read it. They skimmed it, saw a cool picture of me swinging off something, didn't realize the whole article was terrible. You know, it's like, don't flatter ourselves that people care too much. So a bit like in a disaster, what do? Stop, which stands for stop, think, observe, plan. I think it's the same with a crisis in our own life. Just sometimes stop, just perspective, breathe, look at it, gather your team around you, be calm, be kind, don't be an ego, have a plan, and then go. And again, the last thing is always that never give up spirit. Goodness eventually wins through. You're going to get knocked down. We've all three of us here have had moments, should have been career ending moments. But you know what? If you're a good guy, you try and have a humble heart, try not to believe too much of the hype, the good, the bad, shoulder those things lightly, and try and be good, and then just be resilient. You'll win. It's a long game. It's not the short red top papers headline. You know, leave all that. Just play the long game. Don't rush things. And that's why we say no to so many things as well. It doesn't have to be all now. Success, instant. Just like, breathe.
You are so motivational, Bear.
I needed to hear that today. I really needed to hear that today. I've been monitoring my blood pressure the past few days because I've been just really stressed out. And I needed to hear that. And I'm sure a lot of people in the audience needed to hear it as well. That was that was really
tell me
profound.
About that. What's been?
It's weird. I think I'm sure you've dealt with this a little bit too, but like as you go through life in your 20s and then even your early 30s, you go through without taking into consideration that the way things are now is not going to be the way things are in 10 years. Your body starts to quite literally slow down, deplete to an extent, right? And, you know, I've been running for years, you know, physically away from problems, doing shows, traveling for this show, for that show. And I'll do 4, 5, 6, like him, countries in a week. And it catches up to you. Yeah. And I've had a lot of consecutive sleepless nights and just not always in the best state of mind. And I think eventually it starts to have some physical effects on your body. And so that's one of the reasons why I asked you about your attack plan versus stressors. And I hope it helped people in the audience as well. But I was looking for some advice for myself as well.
Yeah, good for you. And such a big part of it is having the courage and honesty to share those struggles and moments. But I think it's so easy to get on that treadmill, isn't it? And it sort of semi-scratches that itch, but doesn't really. You know, you end up going and it gets faster and faster and you never just actually stop. And I think just look at you guys. Look at us all. We're so lucky. It's been so fortunate. We've won more than we've lost. We've had some battles, but we're winning. It's okay. And I think the worst disrespect we can do to our wins is to not appreciate them, is not to be slow enough to go, we're so lucky. Look, you've got a friendship. You've got a good business. You're riding high. You're traveling. You're in the 0.0001%
already. 100%.
And it's like, and I say this to myself, but all of us just kind of like so fortunate. Mm. And I think gratitude is an incredible thing to live with in life. And when you see it, it radiates out of people. And, you know, they've proven, haven't they? It's almost impossible to have self-hatred and too much kind of depression if you're grateful, if your heart is grateful. And we always have stuff to be grateful for. And the happy people at the end of their life, never the busy ones, not the super rich ones. You know, it's guys that hold the hands of their family and they breathe. They watch the kingfisher dipping in the, you know, it's space, isn't it? Time. Just live with that wide-eyed gratitude. And you guys do it. And I love your honesty and, you know, those things last. We'll now have each other's back. I might not see you now. We haven't met before, but we'll now have a connection. We might see each other in 5 years. I'll be here to say to you, how are you doing? Logan walks in this morning off air. First thing he said, how are you really doing to you? You know, and that tells a story because it's easy just to be like, it's all great. It's all great. And a million miles an hour because it shows we're successful. I mean, don't you hate it when people go, are you busy? You must be so. It's like, I don't aspire to be busy. Mm. I aspire to have good friendships and to connect and have time. Mm. So I love your relationship and respect to you guys, and I'll always have your backs now. It's a good thing.
Bear. Well, that's a good thing to know.
That's incredible. We're never going to die because Bear Grylls has our back. Before we let you go, I'm just curious, what is next? What are you up to?
Well, we've got new season of Running Wild just about to air. Amazing. On Nat Geo and Disney Plus in the States, and a new show on TBS as well, and, you know, cranking it. And then, so I've got the promo for that at the moment, and then I'm heading off to, with Jesse, with the family, 3 boys, with Shara. And we own a little island off the Welsh coast, 2 miles offshore, off-grid, one house, simple. And we're going to spend a good number of weeks out there, just kind of, we go off-grid in every way. And it's special times. Been a big part of our, you know, our boys growing up. They've grown up having to be good at the outdoor stuff, because not just for the fun of it, because it's like life. So it's often windy and rainy, not great weather, but it's a happy place for me.
Amazing. Well, I loved you before this episode started, and I love you even more now, as I'm sure does our audience, man. You are spectacular. Incredible. You're motivational. You're inspiring. And I really appreciate your time and this watch.
Oh, you guys are the best. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
For sure. Yo, guys, check out Bear Grylls. Please check him out if you haven't. He's going to be on TV. He's going to be on your Instagram. He's going to be on all social medias. And hit that subscribe button if you're not subscribed. We love you. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miroboard. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miroboard?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.